Okay, so let's get started. We're going to today for real, we're going to try to finish inside the test, and tomorrow, Bezras Hashem, Beli Neder, Simin Kuf, Beria. But today there are two things in inside the test I just totally forgot last time. There were two more things I wanted to cover. They're both related to the Ramah in Siv Vav. We're going to do the second part of the Ramah before the first part of the Ramah in Siv Vav. The second part is easier, it's shorter, and it's a particular issue that's Nogea Lemaisa that we talk about a lot. The Ramah in Siv Vav writes as follows: Kazayis Cholav Shenafal Lemayim Benispatel B'Shishim. Kazayis of Cholav falls into water, it becomes Batel B'Shishim. Va'achar Kach Nafal Min Amayim LeKedera, and then LeKedera Shel Basar, and then some of that Mayim falls into a Kedera Shel Basar. Afal Pi Sheim BeBasar Shishim Neged Acholav Sharen Ispatel B'Mayim VeKol Kiyotziv. Afal Pi Sheim BeBasar Shishim Neged Mutter. It's Mutter. Afal Pi Sheim BeBasar Shishim Neged Acholav. Even though you don't have 60 times the basar corresponding to the chalav, it's mutter anyway. Sharon is batal b'mayim. The chol keyotziv is like, you don't have any chalav. The chalav is ready, batal in the mayim, and therefore it's totally mutter. So says the Rama. So the question becomes: okay, the classic example of something like this, but not exactly like this, and we have to figure out how similar it is if you take something that is a non-dairy creamer, or it's called a non-dairy creamer, but then you look at the ingredients and it says milk as one of the ingredients. And you look at the Ashkocha, and the Ashkocha says O-U-D, because there's actual milk in there, but it's mostly not milk. Milk doesn't it doesn't taste like that, and doesn't have that flavor, that look, that, it's totally unnatural. Obviously, it's mostly chemicals and a little bit of milk. So if you want to put that in your coffee when you're still fleishig, you finish the fleishig lunch, and now you have that 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, kind of like as you're in Seder, you're like, you can't keep your head up. So now it's time for a coffee. So can you put the non-dairy, but you had a fleishig lunch, can you put the non-dairy creamer into your coffee? By the time it goes in your coffee, it's for sure going to be batel b'shishim. What it says on the package of all of these non-dairy creamers pretty much is less than 2% milk. That milk, it contains milk, but less than 2%. Less than 2%. Let's even imagine it's exactly 2%. Once you put it in your coffee, it's for sure batel b'shishim. Now, the Ramah talks about now taking that coffee and pouring it into meat. We're talking about not taking that coffee and pouring it into meat, but drinking that coffee after you've already eaten meat, within the 6 hours of eating meat. So that's really the question. How much of this Ramah can transfer over, and can we say is mutter in our case? In a certain sense, our case is better, because you're not mixing it with meat, you're just having it after meat. In another sense, our case is worse. Why would our case be worse than what the Ramah describes? Because what does the Ramah say? Kazayis chalav shenafal l'mayim. That it was nafal l'mayim. Not that you put it there on purpose to be mevatalit b'mayim. It happened to have been nafal b'mayim, and it was nisbatal on its own. And then, nafal min amayim l'kedera shel basar. And then it fell into a kedera shel basar. It all sounds like it's b'di'evet. None of this sounds l'charchila. So the question becomes, would we be able to say the same thing l'charchila? Comes along the shach, sivkat l'chav beis, and says the shach, where is it? Says the shach, Taras Chaz Chal Pehei, Din Rav Kasada, Afilu l'charchila mutter liten amayim l'kedera shel basar, kivan d'kvar nisbatel. Even the charchila, you could take the mayim and put it in the basar, because it's already bottled. You're not putting milk in meat. There's no milk anymore. It's already bottled. Ve'en lahakshos aguf hadin pshita, they'll call this rebuttal b'shishim. Ask the shach, not only that, you have a very obvious problem over here. The Ramah's telling me a grace of chiddush. There's such a thing called bittul b'shishim. That's all he's telling me. That milk can become bottled. Of course the milk can be bottled b'shishim. He says, no, yish lomar, mishum dil kamansim. He said, that's for now, inspired, they had to be hatul l'shaych bittul. Normally, bittul only, this is Alpi the Ran, the famous Ran in the Dharm, that bittul only works when there's a conflict and one overwhelms the other. So when you have conflicting qualities to two different items, one can overwhelm the other and can make the other something that's not chashuv at all. But if both things are heter, it's heter beheter, they're halachically, even though physically they may be different, but halachically they're similar to each other, so maybe they don't one doesn't overpower and overwhelm the other. So even though normally heter beheter doesn't become batel, so that's the chiddush, and over here heter beheter becomes batel. So says the Shach. The Beis Meir disagrees. The Beis Meir thinks that the Lashon HaRa must suggest that you're not allowed to do this on purpose. That if you have the coffee in this case, where the milk has been batel b'shishim in the coffee, you're not allowed to pour that coffee into your meat. You're not allowed to take. Let's say you want to have a nice coffee flavor on your meat. They have all these different flavors you can get on your meat now. Every Shabbos we have like a new local butcher always has a surprise for us, right? So like a bourbon flavor and, you know, things like that. So you decide you want coffee crusted meat or something like that, right? So these are like 5 pounds spitz, you know, like you get coffee crusted meat. So you're going to take coffee with the creamer in it, and you're going to pour it on the meat. So says the Beis Meir, you know, the Shach says, no problem, l'chadchila, you're allowed to do it. Says the Beis Meir, you're not allowed to do it. Now again, Shach is talking about that the chalav was nafal l'mayim. That was still nafal. He's not telling me l'chadchila, you're allowed to put the chalav in the mayim. He's telling me once the chalav was nafal l'mayim, what you have is just mayim and meat. You don't have any chalav anymore, and therefore l'chadchila, you're allowed to put the mayim into the meat. But at the very outset, even according to the Shach, the case is nafal. In our case, it wasn't nafal. You're actually pouring the non-dairy creamer into your coffee. So are you allowed to purposely mix milk in pariv in order to later use it with meat? So the Tshuvas Rebbe Kiveger in Siman Reish Zayin writes that you're not allowed to be mevatel chalav b'mayim in order to mix it with meat. Meaning the Rama was very careful to say nafal. Even the Shach says that the Shach, who says that you're allowed l'chadchila to mix the mayim, never said you're allowed to mix the chalav in the mayim, just the mayim with the meat. And being mevatel the chalav b'mayim with the intention of eating it with meat is aser. In the Prima Gadim, in Sif Seidah, Sif Kan Chaf Beis, he writes that when the Shach says mutel l'chadchila, he means, again, like we said, to mix the water with the meat, but not to mix the milk with the water in the first place in order to put it in meat. That would be much worse. That would be a violation of Ein Mevatlin Issur L'Chadchila. However, Tshuvas HaRadvaz, Simen Elef Lamed Beis, quoted by the Barhetiv in Simen Pei Zayin, Siv Katan Beis, says that the practice used to be, I don't remember if we mentioned this when we did Simen Pei Zayin, it used to be that they would put some milk in sugar. That a classic, that when you would buy sugar, for whatever reason, I'm sure someone here could tell me the reason, they would put milk in the sugar while cooking it. Maybe it would help it from getting clumpy. I don't know what the kunz was. The Radvaz writes that that's perfectly fine, even though you want to use sugar in your meat recipes. So here you know that you have chalav mixed with the sugar, and you plan on using sugar with your meat recipes, and that's totally fine, because at the time that you put the milk in, it's batel. So once it's batel in the sugar, so then you have no problem. Comes along the Badei HaShulchan in the Biurim, and he says, you know, it's so interesting. All these poskim that we just quoted, the Prima Gadim and Kiveger, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan also, that are so machmir, right, that say that you're not allowed to put the milk in the mayim, you're only allowed to take the mayim that has the milk and put it in the basar, but you're not allowed to put the milk in the mayim. How come they don't quote this Radvaz? Especially the Aruch HaShulchan, because in Siman Pei Zayin, the Aruch HaShulchan does quote the Radvaz. And over here, the Aruch HaShulchan only quotes the Prima Gadim. Why doesn't he quote the Radvaz about putting the milk into the sugar? Isn't putting the milk into the sugar the same thing as putting the milk into the mayim? So says about the HaShulchan, you might suggest, no, sugar is different, because you're not having any kavana to use it with meat. You're just making sugar, and you want to have sugar to have around your house to use for whatever you use sugar for. You're going to make cookies with it. You're going to make whatever people use sugar for. You're not thinking about having the sugar with the meat. But Badei HaShulchan says, come on. Sugar is like a staple ingredient. You use it for everything. You can't say that you're not having kavana to use it with meat. If that's your sugar, then you plan on using that sugar for everything. Milk, inflation, part of everything. That's what people use sugar for all the time. So it seems that chilek doesn't work. And furthermore, the reason given by the Radvaz is very simply, de b'sha'a shemevatlo eino iser. there's an isra of being mevatel an isr lechatchila. Over here, you're mevatel something that is not isr. You're being mevatel. That's how the Radvaz explains why you could put the milk in the sugar. So the same logic should apply to putting the milk in your coffee or to putting the milk in the water. So while the shach is machmir that you're not allowed to put the milk in the water, and the Prima Gadim explains why, or the shach doesn't say explicitly actually, but the Prima Gadim thinks that the shach, even the shach, would be machmir not to put the milk in the water, the Radvaz says, or seems to say, that you're allowed to do it. If you're allowed to put it into sugar, why wouldn't you be allowed to put it into water? So where are we right now? If someone were to ask you about the non-dairy creamer, where we are right now, you're taking milchig and you're putting it into coffee. That's the same or even slightly better than, but at least as good as taking milk and pouring it into water. So for sure, according to the Radvaz, we're okay. But our problem is, according to the Prima Gadim, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, according to the Rebbe Kiveger, right? The problem is, according to the Rav Poskim, that don't quote this Radvaz. But according to, so Snif Lahakel number one, right away, right off the bat, is we have a Radvaz who says that within this Ramah, you're allowed to pour milk into the water in the first place, even with the intention of pouring that water into the meat later on. Why are they doing it? Yes, I'm not sure why they put the milk into the sugar. Maybe to, I don't know.
That's the reason why it's being made over here, but wouldn't that be made if your intention is actually to get the milk into the meat at the end of the day? I mean, you could be saying that.
But in our case, you're for sure not trying to get it into the meat. You don't care about the milk, you just want a non-dairy creamer. The milk, you're not going to taste at all in the coffee. Right? Well, all you can taste is really chemicals. You'll taste the whatever. Oreos or whatever flavor. Another tzad. Over here, in the case of the non-dairy creamer, you're not pouring the water into meat. You're pouring the non-dairy creamer into coffee. That is the water, and you're going to drink it after you eat meat. So in the Tshuvas Or Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph Yardea Simen Hay, he is Mekel to do that, because having milk after meat is definitely more kal than having it together with meat, and even having it together is a machlokes. For sure, you could be mekel like the Radvaz when we're not even talking about mixing it with meat at all anyway. And the Sefer Oel Yaakov, he quotes Rav Neven Salva's machmir, is machmir on that issue. I thought that maybe this is taloi on Chakira that Rav Salvechik has in Shiurei Arav in Siman Nun Tes, which I think we may have discussed when we did Siman Pei Zayin. A machlokas had to view the requirement to wait between Fleishig and Milchig, where the way Rav Salvechik learns is that Rashi writes that it's an Isur Cheftza of Basar B'chalav, meaning that we view it as actual Basar B'chalav on a Drabana level, because there's Basar Ben Hashinayim or the Tam Basar B'piv. So when you're eating milk after having eaten meat, it's the equivalent of, on a Drabana level, eating milk and meat together. Whereas Tosus understands that both meat after milk and eating some milk and milk after meat is only an Isur Gavra. Meaning it's not a chepta shel basar b'chalav, it's an isra on the gavra that now you're limited in your diet. So l'chara, if you view it as a chepta shel basar b'chalav and you hold that you can't be mevatel milk for the purpose of mixing it with meat, so this is called mixing with meat, just the mixing is going on in your mouth, because you have the tam basar b'piv, you have the basar b'nei shinayim, and now you're mixing now you're pouring that coffee into your mouth where the meat is. But if you view it as an issue on the gavra, it's like a dietary restriction, but it's not on any level viewed as something that's a mixing of the meat and milk together. So then it should be mutter. I asked the Talmud of Rav Belsky's, it was Yadua. I thought it was Yadua. I asked around in the OU office, I asked Rabbi Gersten Shlita in the OU office what the poskim in the OU said about the non-dairy creamer. And he said, yeah, Rabelski was Mekel. This was famous around the office. Rabelski was Mekel. And then, Rav Shechter, depends when you ask him, who asks him, and if you know enough to argue back. He sometimes says, no, it doesn't sound good. And then you present him all this argument. Okay. And then, you know, and then he said, and Rebelsky, oh, Rebelsky said, okay, you know, so always a little hard I think his final answer, last time I spoke to him, his final answer was that it was okay. But Rebelsky explained, Rebelsky's Talmud told me, not Rabbi Gerson, I spoke to Rabbi Meshe Dov Leibovitz, who's Talmud of Rebelsky, and he told me that, I think he's the one that told me, that Rebelsky said, because it's a din in the gavra. That was his lashon. That it's a din in the gavra. It's not a chepta bas b'chalav. Mele, it's got nothing to do with this Ramah. Rav Willig recommended waiting an hour, because even if you hold it's like having them together, it could be that that's only within the first hour, that based on the Zohar, right? It could be that's only within the first hour. So if it's an hour since your fleshig meal, maybe that's okay. Plus, Rabbi Akiva Willig told me that he did some research on these non-dairy creamers, and even though it says less than 2%, it's enough less than 2% that it's actually batel b'shishim already. That most of the companies told him, or whoever he was able to get in contact with, told him that there's so little milk in there that it's probably less than 1%, but it's definitely batel b'shishim, or almost definitely batel b'shishim. They're not willing to put their name to that, they're only willing to put their name to 2%, but it's batel, so less than 1.66% would be batel b'shishim, so it's really batel b'shishim. Ooh, if it's really batel b'shishim, then it's nafal, then you have exactly the shach, right? The shach's kula, that if it's nafal, the milk into the mayim, you're allowed to on purpose pour that mayim into the meat, which would mean you could take that bottle of non-dairy creamer and actually rub your steak with it. You could actually pour it into the meat if it's actually batel b'shishim, according to the shach. We're not suggesting to do that, right? We're going to be choshish. Maybe it's not batel b'shishim. I don't know. We don't. If they change the ingredients, we would never know. But at least that's another major tzad lahakel. This also comes up. Sometimes they have these fancy machines that dispense all sorts of fancy drinks. So, and it all comes out of the same spot. So you push here and a regular black coffee comes out. You push there and a cappuccino comes out. You push there and, I don't know, whatever. They have different all these different drinks. So a latte, whatever, I don't know. So some of the drinks may be milchiks. So can you have that after a fleshig meal? Can you go not have a milchik drink, have a parv drink that comes out through the same spout as the milchik, and there may be droplets because of milchik that's getting mixed with. So that lechor is also going to be mutter. Because there's a suffix whether there really is any dairy there, and even if there is, it's batel, and it's in kavanasa levatel, so you're not being batel l'sul chachila, and it's not iser, and you have all the tzadim that we just said. So that's as far as the non-dairy creamer. Jed?
Would there be a bar sign for the dairy creamer that we'd have to put some type right there?
So that goes back to the discussion of marasayin in general, non-dairy creamer, and whether you hold that that's still, meaning you're saying because it's called dairy, meaning not stam, the existence of non-dairy creamer.
Yeah. People also know it as dairy creamer, like it's burnt. Yeah, I guess people know it as
right.
Creamer.
I don't know if it's marzayin, if it's probably really mutter. Meaning it's probably ready about the l'shishim anyway. I do tell people, do not bring it to the fleshik table. You shouldn't have non-dairy creamer on the fleshik table, because as far as we know, it's actually dairy, right? But really, really, I mean, between me and you, it's about the l'shishim already, and you can rub your meat with it, probably, right? Based on Rabbi Akiva Willig's research. I don't know exactly how he did the research, or who he spoke to, who he called, which company, whether it was Natural Delight, or I don't know the names of the, you know, but that was his maskana. Because I remember he didn't like my cheshbon. Rabbi Akiva Willig did not like my cheshbon of the Gavra Chepza. He was like, yeah, I love this, you know, that's not Paschal Halacha. Gabe, you had something? No? Oh, any questions on the chat?
Yeah. Is there a tzad to say that since the taste of milk is practically batel in the water, that the fact that this taruz is heter beheter is irrelevant?
I mean, that's probably what the shach is saying, that the fact that it's heter beheter is irrelevant because it's totally batel anyway. Right. Anything else? Is it? Okay. All right, so now the more complicated part. Chozer v'neir. So this is the earlier part of this Ramah, and you know, it's kedai to go through to see these sugyas, even though it's not super halacha lemaisa, or at all really, but fascinating sugya. Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Gimel. Gimel discuss the following issue. Normally, let's introduce it this way. I have a little bit of a Dvar Isser that falls into a Dvar Heter, so it becomes Batel. Great. So now the whole thing is Mutter. Then a little bit more of a Dvar Isser falls in, right? And a little bit more, and a little bit more. So the question is, do you say, Chozer V'Neir, at some point do you say, well, wait a second, when you take the cumulative amount of Isser that had fallen in, so now it's not Batel B'Shishim anymore? Or do you say, no, Kama Kama Batel, that first one came as Batel, now it's all Heter, now the next that falls in is Batel, so it's all Heter, and therefore you don't have to worry about Chozer V'Neir. So the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about the Isser Mashuhu, the Isser of Yayin Nesach being also B'Mashuhu, and there's one opinion in the Gemara, the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, where it says, Amar Avdimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hama'ara, Yayin Esach, Michavis Labar, Afilu, Kolayom Kulo, Rishon, Rishon, Batel. That even though Yayin Esach, under certain circumstances, is Aser B'mashuhu, Rabbi Yochanan's sheet is that if a little Isser falls into a barrel of kosher wine, it does not become Aser B'mashuhu. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas within that shita, whether we would say kama kama batel, meaning assuming that there is such a way that yayin nesach can become batel, which is an assumption because it should be asur b'mashuhu. But assuming that there is such a way, shita Rabbi Yochanan, that there is such a way that yayin nesach can become batel, now do you say kama kama batel or not? So it's some discussion in the Gemara about the details, whether and under which conditions Rabbi Yochanan would say kama kama batel. But at least according to one daya, you would say kama kama batel by yayin nesach. So that's the sugya at the end of Avodah Zarah. So the Rishonim discuss, okay, how do we apply this to regular Isser Vater, to not yayin nesach situations, to other situations of bittul Isser. So the place to look for the, obviously other than the Beis Yosef over here, is the Ran in Avodah Zarah and Aflam and Vavam and Aleph Bidape Arif. And the Ran quotes the two basic shitas. Shita number one is the shita Saravid. The Ravid writes that really Tarovus min b'she'eino mino, we would say kama kama batel. The entire machlokas is only about yayin nesach because of the chumrah of yayin nesach. So maybe by yayin nesach we're not comfortable saying kama kama batel. That means if little by little you have lots of nevela trefa that fall into your chalent to the point that you just drop pachas mishishim, then another pachas mishishim, then another pachas mishishim, your chalent can taste like chazer in the end of the day. Your chalent can taste like nevela, and it's still going to be perfectly fine because kama kama batel. So the Rishonim are very bothered by this Ravid, and the Ran points this out. How could it be? You're going to eat the chalent, and mamish tastes like chazer, right? And you're going to say that that's batel? In fact, the Chasam Sofer has an interesting chilik in his Chidush and Tavol Dezar over there, in Dafayin Gimel. The Chasam Sofer was very bothered by this, and he suggests that even the Ravid is only speaking about cases where that which you taste is not a tam of Isser. What does that mean? Chasam Sofer says, if it tastes like chazer, even the Ravid would have a problem. If it tastes like Yayin Nesach, that's where the Ravid's going to be maker. My high, what's the difference? What does Yayin Nesach taste like? Yeah. Tastes like Yayin. The Isser doesn't taste like anything. Right, you're not tasting the Isser. You're tasting something that happens to be Aser, but it's not tam of Isser. So to say that something that tastes like Yayin is kosher, that's not so crazy. And that's where the Ravid's comfortable saying kama kama batel. But if you have something that the only way anything could have this taste is if it's Isser, like tam chazer, that's where you're not going to say kama kama batel. But the Chasam Sofer made up that chilek. it doesn't sound at all from the Ravid that way. It doesn't fit with the words of the Ravid because he's pretty explicit that we always say by all isurim kama kama batel.
So according to the Chasam Sofer, when you by basar b'chalav, how do you notice if it's misr if you taste it simultaneously the basar b'chalav?
L'chora, Rabbi Sadlovsky thought, it's not really such a problem with the Ravid. He said, that it's a problem, meaning if it fits the dinim of Bittul, who cares that it tastes like Chazer? We're halachic Jews, and they sell OU, I don't know if the OU does it anymore, but there was a big scandal at some time. There were bacon chips, bako bits or something like that, with an OU ashkacha, because it's not really bacon. It's like when you go to the kosher Dunkin' Donuts, and you get your bacon and cheese sandwich, and it says on the thing, bacon is all vegetarian. So that means it's not a pig. It means it's not but it tastes like bacon, supposedly. You know, or the Gemara says there's a certain type of fish that tastes just like a chazer, and it's a kosher fish, or whatever. You know, that everything, of course, Baruch Hu's Baraba Olamo, Isri creates heter kenegdo, that you can get just the same hana. So what? So this is the heter kenegdo. The heter kenegdo is it's actually pig, but it's kama bottle kind of pig. Okay. Pri Chadash and Sivkan Chavalef adds that even according to the Ravid, once you get to Rove, you'd have to say Chozer V'Neir. That even the Ravid can't say that if it's Rove Chazer, then you can't say Kama Batal anymore. So the Shach in Sivkat and Chafalif over here, the Shach goes a little bit back and forth over here, and he says that the Ravid would even say Kama Batal when it's Lo Nodat HaRoves. That's not agreed upon by everybody. The Hagos from Kivegar quotes Machot Yushalmi. Whether you need, you know, if you do need Yudias, Yudia Benatayim, you do need Nodat HaRovis in order to say Kamagam Batal, whose Yudia would matter? Does you need the Yudias HaBailim or somebody else's Yudia? But that's Machlokes, whether you need Nodat HaRovis in order to say Kamagam Batal. But anyway, that's Shitas Ravid. So Shitas Ravid is Kamagam Batal, and the whole discussion about Yayin Nesach is Dafka by Yayin Nesach, there are lots of Chumras by Yayin Nesach. But by Shari Sum we say Kamakam Batal, and even to the point that you can have actual Tam of Chazer in your Chalant, it's going to be kosher. Most of the other Rishonim, including the Ramban, and Taisus and Avodah Zarah and Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Rashba and Taurus Abayas, disagree with the Ravid. And the Ramban writes that we hold Chozer B'Neir on a Taroves Lach B'Lach, Min B'Shein Omino, because the Tam can't become Batal when you can taste it. And the same would also be true with lach b'lach min b'mino, once it hits shishim. Even though it's min b'mino, so you can't taste it. It all tastes the same. But if it's enough of a ratio that it would be no same time, we'd say chozer v'neir, and it would no longer be batal. So Rabbi Sabalovsky pointed out that there are other sugyas that also discuss kamakam batal that might align, where some rishonim might align with the Ravid. What he pointed out is that the halacha is, in general, that a mayan is different than a mikveh. A mayan, like the Arizal's mikveh, is a mayan, right? It's an underground spring. It's in a cave, right? So it's not a still water mikveh. So it's a mayan, can be metaher, or is metaher when flowing, whereas a rainwater mikveh is only metaher when it's still and not when it's flowing. So that's a dindaraisa. And that's why mikvahs are so expensive to build, because you have to make sure there's no flow. How do you make sure that there's no leakage, there's no seepage, so they need this special kind of concrete, and it's got to be absolutely tight, that there's nothing that that comes out of it. So that's why it's so hard to make mikvahs. So the Mishnah mikvahs says that, you know, that's why you got to make sure that the filter is off when people are tovil, because you can't have water coming in or out of the mikvah. That's even when a man uses like a swimming pool as a mikvah or something like that, they tell him, okay, at least shut the filter off, that it shouldn't be an obvious water seeping out of the pool. But anyway, the Mishnah Mikvah says if you have a mixture of both flowing water and still water, so then we follow the rove. So there is a Gemara that appears in a few places in Shas, in Nedarim and Bechoros and Shabbos. It talks about how to measure rove in rivers that usually have both. A river has an underground spring and also rain and snow capped or whatever that flow into it. So according to many Shitos, it depends on the time of the year what the rove is going to be. So the Gemara discusses the Nahar Pras B'Yemei Nisan. That could be a potential problem because there's a lot of melted snow that feeds into the Nahar Pras, into the Euphrates. So Rabbeinu Tam, and this is the critical part, was Mekel on all rivers because it's Rove Mei Mayan. It's mostly spring water. Maybe not. You know, maybe in the rainy season or at the end of a rainy season, it's Rove Mei Geshamim. Yeah, but all the rain didn't come at once. The rain came slowly. So kama batal. So since it started as Beimayan, and then rainwater came in, so a little bit of rain, that became batal, a little more rain, that became batal. So at the end of the day, you may have rove megashamim, but it's not viewed that way. The idea that rainwater will make a mikvah puzzle is only a dindarabanan. So Tulsa says, yeah, but at a certain point, shouldn't we say chozer b'neir? It would be a problem on a daraisa level. So the Ravid would probably defend Rabbeinu Tam and say that there's no chazir v'nei because kamakam batel. So Rabbeinu, it doesn't matter what the ratios are. So it could be that Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid are conceptually on the same page as each other. I didn't look it up, but Rabbi Sablovsky quoted a Mordechai that discusses that some even though, you know, kedai Rabbeinu Tam lismach lo b'shas adchak, that maybe it could be something or Rabbeinu Tam b'shas adchak, that it used to be a shidduch question that people had. The Mordechai reported that people would ask, was your mother, did your mother rely on Rabbeinu Tam to be tayvel in a river? And they would view that as a potential ben el bas nida, that's pogum, that you would want to stay away from the shidduch. And the Mordechai said that that's crazy. First of all, there's nothing halachically wrong with the child. Second, meaning even if it is a ben bas nida, nothing halachically wrong with the child. Second of all, midaraisa, for sure the river is kosher. Right? The whole question is on the rabbanu level. Midaraisa, for sure it's going to be kosher anyway. So it doesn't. Then whatever pagam you have in a ben bas nida, you're not going to have that meaning that's a metzius question. The metzius question is in the bria. That's got to be in the daraisa, like in the sivus and reish lamedalid. Right? That's going to be as long as we daraisa, it's okay. You're not going to have that problem. As Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. You know, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a guy was dating a girl and she was wonderful, midos tovos, everything that he was looking for. Elamai, her parents are bali tshuva, or she's a balas tshuva. So there's no way her mother used a mikvah. So if that's the case, maybe I have to be worried that she's got this strike against her of being a bas nida. So should I stay away from the shidduch? So Rav Moshe has this unbelievable tshuva where Rav Moshe says, no, mistama, her mother went to the beach. And she went swimming, and some stomach, she was tahor at that time. Because if you see, she's got all these beautiful midos. It had to come from somewhere, so it must be that she's not really a bas nida. Which is an interesting take. I mean, you could probably do the math. I mean, if she lived in New York and she was born in, in August, so probably her mother was not at the beach 9 months earlier, right? Because that would have been December, unless she's at, what do they call it, the Polar Bear Club or whatever, right? So probably not, right? So but Rav Moshe didn't take that into the chesed. No, mistama, she was tahor somehow or another. The Stipler has a letter to someone who asked the same question, and the Stipler said different. The Stipler said, no, adraba, that's more of a reason to marry her, because you see, her midos tovos are so strong that she was able to overcome. She started with two strikes against her, and she overcame that. That's how great she is. So it's a more reason to... So at the end of the day, you find with Gedolei Yisrael, they'll give the right advice. They may get there in different ways, but you know they'll both be reasonable at the end of the day. Anyway, back to us. So the Shach and Sivkot and Chaf Aleph of here discusses, maybe even if you hold like the Ramban, at Chosev V'Neir, by a Tarovas Yavish B'Yavish, maybe we could say Kamakam Batal. When it comes to Lach B'Lach, we're going to be Machmir, maybe. What about Yavish B'Yavish? Maybe Yavish B'Yavish is going to be different. Maybe Yavish B'Yavish we could say Kamakam Batal. Why so? So again, Lach B'Lach, you have the Tam. You have the Tam of the... You know, the Ramban's taina is, I taste chazer, so don't tell me that there's no chazer here, that it's all batel. And even on min b'mino, the only reason we need shishim min b'mino is atu min b'sheino mino. So if it's atu min b'sheino mino, it's got to follow the same rules. Otherwise, it's not a good atu, right? So it has to follow the same rules. But yavish b'yavish doesn't follow the same rules. Yavish b'yavish, even midrabanan is, we'll get to but batel b'rov. So the Shach discusses maybe by Yavish B'Yavish there's more room to say Kama Kama Batal even Lefishita Saramban. It all depends on an approach and how to be Miyashiv Astira between two Mishnayas. There's a Mishnah Maseches Trumas, Perek Hei Mishnah Ches, and a Mishnah Maseches Orla, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah Trumas talks about Truma requires Meya to become Batal, Midrabanan. So din Midrabanan, Midaraisa, Chad betray Batal. Right? This is Yavish B'Yavish. It requires Meya Midrabanan. Where do we get the number 100 from? So Chazal had this interesting idea. Keshem She'isura B'Meya, Kachetera B'Meya. What does that mean, Keshem She'isura B'Meya? Because Truma is 1/100. No, it's not. Truma has no chita, achas, poteres, is kol akri. You take one chita, kapater thousands of times its volume from Truma. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Truma doesn't have any shear. An ayin tova is echad me'arba'im, an ayin beit is echad mechamishim, ayin ra'a echad mishishim. There's no official shear for Truma, but Truma's meiser has an official shear. Since meiser rishon is 1/10, and Truma's meiser is 1/10 of that, so the only part of Truma that has an official shear is actually 1/100th, and therefore midrabban, they said, okay, kol tikra rabban kenda raisa tikrum, they're misakein that when it comes to the heter of Truma, to the bittel of Truma, also 1/100th. So Orlan Kilei Akarim is 1/200. Why? Because Chazal have, again, a funny expression, kishem shekafel b'yisuro, kach kafel b'shiro. Orlan Kilei Akarim, and not only yasa b'achila, they're also b'hana'a also. So they have twice the yisur that Truma has. It's not a quantitative difference, right? There's achila and hana'a. But it's twice the yisur of Truma, so if Truma's 1/100, so Orlan Kilei Akarim are 1/200. So Mishnah discusses what happens the following. A solid piece of Truma falls into a basket of chulin, batel in 100. Then another piece of Truma falls in, so now you no longer have a 100-to-1 ratio. So Reb Shimon in Maseches Truma says, it's still batel. Once you had Yediyas HaTaroves, it had become mutter, kama batel, and it's perfectly fine. Without using the language kama batel, it's basically kama batel. The Chachamim, however, disagree in the Mishnah. The Chachamim say, no. You only look at it once we know to look. So we look at it, I mean, the Chum say you have to look at it at the end of the day. And generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon against the Chumim, Yachid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim. So the Mishnah and Trumas would definitely lead us to believe Chozer v'Neir, not Kamakam Batel, that you have to say that it's Chozer v'Neir, that you have to assess the total percentage in the end of the day. That's the Mishnah and Trumas. On the other hand, a Mishnah in Maseches Arla, the second parak of Arla. Arla falls and becomes batel, then more falls in and becomes batel, we would say kamakam batel. And not only is it batel, says the Mishnah, but the original Arla that fell in could be mitstarif with the rest of the heter to be mevatel, the next piece that fell in. So even if the original tarovis is you need to use all of the original tarovis in order to get to the 200, can I get the second nefila, that would also be batel. I mean, it's mamish nepach leheter. It's mamish kamakam batel, the yisr is nepach leheter. So what do you do? It's a stira between two mishnayas. So there are two mahalchim, how to be miyashiv, the stira between the two mishnayas. Again, this is by yavesh v'yavesh. The Rash, an arla, it's quoted over here, it's all quoted over here in the Beis Yosef. The Rash explains that we paskin like the simple reading of the Mishnah arla. Kamakam batel, we could be mekel. Aye, what do you do with the Mishnah Trumos? The Chacham in Trumos would normally agree Kamakam Batel also, but the Bittel just didn't take effect yet because you need to have like a stopping point to say, okay, now Bittel happened. Right? Now there's been a Taroves, the Taroves is over, Bittel happened, now let's move on. But you never have that with Truma. Or you haven't had it yet, because the halacha by Truma is that if a little bit of Truma falls in and becomes Batel, it's wonderful that you don't have, you know, from a Yoredeya perspective, you don't have any Isser there, but from a Chosha Mishpah perspective, you owe the Kohen something. Meaning, the Kohen's Truma is now gone. So you're going to need to take out the shear of whatever fell in and give that to a Kohen so that you're not stealing from a Kohen. And since you still have that process to go through, it's Ki'ilu, you don't even have a Yediyas HaTaroves. Meaning, you don't stop to look and to assess until you do that. And now war fell in before you ever did that. So that's where the Chum say in Trumas, that's where the Chum are going to say Chozer v'Neir. Because it was never really fully batel. Essentially, it's a technicality within the halachas of Truma. That's the sheet of the Rash. If you look in the Rash in Siman Lamed Zayin over here, in the 7th Parak of Chulin, the Rash disagrees. And he says, no. The Iker is the Mishnah in Truma. The default position is Chozer v'Neir. L'chumra, Chozer v'Neir. The fact that you need to pull out a piece to give to the Kohen, that's a separate din l'chosha Mishpah. It's got nothing to do with this halacha of Bittel. It's totally irrelevant. The Mishnah in Arla is problematic. So how you can explain the Mishnah in Arla? The Mishnah in Arla didn't mean that Arla fell in and then more Arla fell in. The Mishnah in Arla meant Arla fell in, was batel b'masayim, and then Netarevai fell in. And sometimes we call Neter Avai Arla, because they're basically the same thing. They're not really basically the same thing. Why would we call Neter Avai Arla? It's part of the same system. You never have something that's subject to Arla that's not subject to Neter Avai, or Neter Avai that's not subject to Arla. They always go hand in hand with each other. That he's like stepping into like a whole another sugya, a famous Reb Chaim. Is Arla and Neter Avai, are they mamish, like, are they lockstep? They always go together with each other. They're inseparable from each other. So it's a bit of a chiddush. There's a major discussion about this. Let's say it like this. I'm sure you know this Reb Chaim, but it's geshmak to say over anyway. The Ran in Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Aleph and Beis B'Dapei Arif, discusses why carrying Dalar Amos is punished the same as Hotza'a, Dalar Amos Rosh Hashanah, the same as Hotza'a, if we say that Mavir Dalar Amos is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. I thought you don't get an Onesh on Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So why should be Mavir Dalar Amos? Why should there be a Chiyu? So it must be, says the Ran, that the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai is mefarish the definition of a Rishus. Meaning, Dal Ramos Shaladam is a person's Roshos. We say that about Metzio Daf Yud when we talk about Kinyan Dal Ramos. That's only Din Rabban. That's the Takana Rabban by Hilchos Metzio Shalawasi Lin Suye, that people don't fight with each other, that your Dal Ramos can be Kona for you. But Dal Ramos works for a get. So it can't be purely Rabban, because we say the Ish is Megureshes when it came within Dal Ramos. So obviously there's this Inyan of Dal Ramos on a Daraisa level. What's that? The Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai tells me that Dalet Amos is your Rishus. It's a Din Rabbanan that it could therefore be Kone for me. That's a Din Rabbanan. Where did the Rabbanan get it from? They got it from the Din D'Oraisa, so that your Dalet Amos is your Rishus. So all the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai is telling me is that I define a Rishus by my Dalet Amos. So when I'm Mavir, Dalet Amos Rosh Hashem, I went from Rishus number one to another Rishus. And that's Hotza'ah. And therefore, I'm going to be chayiv. If something was invented entirely as halacha l'moshe m'sinai, then you're not going to be chayiv. This is where Chaim coins the term a halacha mechadeshes or a halacha mefareshes. Sometimes halacha l'moshe m'sinai invents a brand new din, and sometimes halacha l'moshe, and for such halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there can't be an onesh. And sometimes halacha l'moshe m'sinai is only mefaresh an already existing din. And for such halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there can be an onesh, because it's not an onesh on the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's an onesh on the din that you're being mefarish. So says Reb Chaim in Machol Sasuris Parak Yud, Halacha Tezvav, Orla in Chutzlar, it's according to Kiddush and Lam Chesem Beis, based on the Mishnah, third parak of Orla, is halacha. Right? Orla's Chutzla Aretz is halacha. Says Reb Yochanan in Kiddushin, halacha means halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Says the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Tezvav Machol Sasuros, Yira'eli She'ein Din Netar Revai Noeg B'Chutz Laretz, that there's no Netar Revai in Chutz Laretz B'Chla. And then the Rambam brings Gaonim that disagree and say that Netar Revai is Me'alach L'Moshe M'Sinai in Chutz Laretz as well. What are they arguing about? What's Rambam and Gaonim arguing about? Says Reb Chaim Pashut, the Rambam must understand that Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of Orlas Chutz Laretz is a halacha mechadeshes, a brand new din, nothing to do with Arlas Eretz Yisrael, a brand new din called Arlas Chutz Laretz. So it's got nothing to do with Neter Avai. It's a brand new din of Arlas Chutz Laretz. Whereas the Gaonim must understand that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of Arlas Chutz Laretz is a halacha mefareshes. That din of Arlas Eretz Yisrael, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells us, applies also in Chutz Laretz. Well, that din of Arlas Eretz Yisrael comes with Revai. And therefore, if it's Mefareshes, we take all the dinim and we apply it to Chutz Laretz. Well, what's the assumption of the whole Reb Chaim? That the basic din of Arla, as the Torah reports it to us, includes Revai. That it's all the same din. The Gaonim and the real discussions, you know, when the Torah says Ki Savo El Aretz and tells us the dinim of Arla, what does Ki mean? Is Ki Savo where, or is it when? Right, meaning is Kisavo al Aretz, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, because that's where these dinim are going to apply. So the Torah is telling me it doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz, and then Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai says, brand new din, it applies in Chutz Laretz. Or do you say, no, Kisav Ohel Eretz means when you go to Eretz Yisrael, that's when it triggers the din everywhere. But it's the same din that's triggered everywhere, according to the Halacha Moshim Sin, it's Mefarish to me. But you know, listen, am I saying like, it's like, should I give other examples? Not one, yes one. Yeah, a couple of other examples, good. A Kohen Orel is not allowed to do Avodah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Gemara Gemirila, that Kohen Orel, different kind of Orla now, right? Kohen Orel is not allowed to do Avodah. Gemara Gemirila. So Rashi in Sanhedrin paid Dalet Amalf, right, said if he does Avodah, he does not get Malkus, because it's only Alachol Moshim Sinai. You don't get Malkus, it's Alachol Moshim Sinai. Wonderful. Rambam, Bias Migdash, Perek Vav, Halacha Ches, Kohen Orel Sha'avad, Harehu Kizar, and he gets Malkus Midor Raisa. What do you mean? He gets Malkus. It's a Halachol Moshim Sinai. So the Rambam must understand that a Kohen Orel is Halachol Mefarashas. What is it? The Rambam is so careful. Rambam says that a Kohen Orel does the Avodah Harehu or Dino Kizar. What do you mean Dino Kizar? Just tell me he can't do the Avodah. What do you have to tell me he has the din of a Zar? No, what you're telling me is that the Torah tells me that a Zar that does the Avodah is Chayiv Malkus, and the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Mefaresh. You know what else fits in the category of Zar? A Kohen Orel is also a Zar. A Kohen Orel also lacks Kuhuna, similar to so the Rambam doesn't count the Isra of Mechusar Begadim in the Minyan Alavin. Why not? Because he's Dino Kizar, ain't Kunasim Aleim. That's an expansion of the category of Zar. Whereas Rashi apparently assumes that it's a halacha Mechadashas. Another example. The mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Beis. Going over to Daf Gimel, Machlokes Tanaim, where does Nisuch HaMayim come from on Sukkos? So Rabbi Yehuda Maseira points out that V'nisukeihem, V'nisukeiha, Kimishpatam, right, spells out the extra letters, spell out Mem, Yud, Mem, Mayim. And that's the base of Nisuch HaMayim. Rabbi Nechemya says, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Says the Rambam in the Parash of Mishnah, is in the 13th parak of Zvachim, Mishnah Vav, 13:6, that if you're Menaseich Mayim B'chutz, if you hold the Rabbi Meseira, you're chayiv, because it's an avoda derived from a drush and a pasuk. Avoda b'chutz is chayiv midaraisa. But says the Rambam, if you hold like Rabbi Nechemya that it's only Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then there's not going to be any malchus, because it's not avoda midaraisa. It's not avoda that's it's not an avoda from the Torah. It's avoda Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. You don't get an onus on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's in the Pirush Mishnayos. In Hilchos Tamidin Musaf, in Parak Yud Halacha Vav, the Rambam paskins Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Great. So now you know what the Rambam holds. Do you get Malkus if you do Nisuch HaMayim B'chutz? It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Of course he's going to say you don't get Malkus. Maisa Karbanos Parak Yotes Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, Menasech B'chutz Chayiv. You get Malkus for Nisuch HaMayim B'chutz. What do you mean? You just told me. You're the one that made the equation, Rambam. The Parashat Mishnayos, you made the equation. That if you hold that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then you're not going to get Malkus if you do B'chutz. And then, in Mishnah Torah, you paskin that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you paskin that you still do get Malkus. Comes along Reb Chaim. What the Rambam changed his mind about is whether it's Halacha Mefarashas or Halacha Mechadashas. That in the Parashat Mishnayos, he assumed that it's halacha mechadashas. That if it's halacha called Nisuch HaMayim, it means it's a brand new halacha. It's got nothing to do with it. We're not being mefarish. What is avoda? It's a separate halacha called Nisuch HaMayim. Nothing to do with avoda. And therefore, you wouldn't get malchus. But in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam was working with the assumption that it's halacha mefarashas. That we're being mefarish avoda. An example not in Reb Chaim, but related to this week's parasha. In Eretz HaTzvi, Siman Lamed Vav, Osios Hei through Zayin, Marenu Rav Shechter Shlita points to a Tosos in Yevamos, the fine Alfam base. Tosos says that even though Priyas Mila was Lo Nitna L'Avram Avinu, that doing Priya was not given to Avram Avinu, we weren't mechadish it on our own. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's not just that some rabbi came up with the idea one day. Why don't we not just do Mila b'priya as well? It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai that we do priya. The Tshuvas Chasam Sofer in Yordea, Simen Reish Mem Ches, Simen Reish Mem Tes, is not sure what if a Moel finished the Mila and he left Sitzana Ma'akvin as a Priya, meaning he didn't do the Priya. He did the full Mila, but didn't do the Priya. Now he needs to come and clean up. He needs to do it right. So he's missing out on the Priya. What bracha does he say? When he comes back to clean up, what bracha does he say? Chasam Sofer discusses. What does he say? Does he say Al HaMila? Or does he say Al HaPriya? Says Rav Shechter, what's the suffix? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai of Priya. Does that define Mila? Is there halacha mefereshes? In which case, even when you're just doing Priya, you could say Al HaMila. Or is it Mechadish, a new din called Priya on top of Mila? In which case, it would be Al HaPriya. Final example. Reb Chaim in Bias Mikdash Parak Aleph Halacha Tes Vav. The Rambam holds that Kohen Shesui Yayin Shenichnas Bein Ulam LeMizbeach is Loke. A Kohen that drank wine, he goes between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, gets Malkus, because he violated a Doraisa. The Ravid says, no, Doraisa is only if you're Nichnas LeHechal, not Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos points out that the pasuk bevorachem el olam moed sounds a lot like the Ravid, that beyond the mizbeach is only midrabanan. Elamai, says Reb Chaim, the Rambam holds that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and then he writes yira'eli that you get malchus. Yira'eli that you get malchus. I mean, is it alav in the Torah or is it not alav in the Torah? No, the Rambam learns it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but even within that, there's what to be done on. Is that called, is it halacha mefareshes that we're expanding the definition of Ol Moed? Torah says Ol Moed, you get mal, is the issue. So when halacha l'moshe m'sinai says, Benulam l'mizbech, are we expanding the definition of Ol Moed, in which case you get malchus, halacha mefareshes? Or is halacha mechadeshes a separate issue? Alright, so anyway, you have this this fundamental machlokes between the Rash on the one hand, going back to us, the Rash on the one hand and the Rash. Which of these Mishnayos in the Tarovis Yavesh B'Yavesh do we say Kama Kama Batal or do we say Chozer V'Neya? So bottom line is machlokes aposkim. The Rama in Sivvav over here says we're always Machmir. Isur Shen is Batal Kigon Shayashishim Kenegdo V'Nitosafo Achar Kach Min HaIsur HaRishon Chozer v'neir v'nesa. And let me be clear, says Rama. Lo shna min b'mino, lo shna min b'sheino mino. Lo shna yavesh, lo shna lach. Lo shna neida b'netayim, lo neida b'netayim. Whatever factor you could think of, we're always going to say chozer v'neir. The Shach seems to side with the Rash. That yavesh b'yavesh, the default position is kama kama bata. In Maseches Trumas we said, the other way, that the Shitas Chachamim is to say Chozer V'Neir. Nah, it's by Truma. Truma had that separate din, remember, because you have to take out from it to give to the Kohen. So, we're extra Machmir by Truma. But the default position is like the Rash said. A third approach in this long Bir Agra. The Gra says it may depend whether it's a Daraisa or a Darabanan issue. In the world of Arla and Truma, where the ratios are all Darabanan, Meyas, Darabanan, Masayim, Darabanan, Midaraisa would be Chad Betray Batal, you can rely on the Shitos of Kamakama Batal. But when it comes to ratios that are Daraisa, so then we're less eager to rely on the Shitos of Kamakama Batal. Meaning, yeah, I had your bet a little bit. Almost view it like a suffix. Whether you say kama kama batal or chozer v'neir, so when the whole ratio that you're talking about is a drabanan ratio anyway, you could be mekel. The Rush, just and then with this we'll close, the Rush raises one important point about how chozer v'neir kicks in, because there's a major machlokes we've shown him. When you have yavish b'yavish, right? So you have a piece of nevela, a nevela hamburger that gets mixed in with two kosher hamburgers. So we're going to get to it, but there's a major machlokes rishonim. Can you eat all three? Can anybody eat all three? You say it's batel, right? So what does that mean? Does that mean Reuven, Shimon, and Levi could each have a hamburger? And they can each assume that they're, you know, called the parish meruba parish? Or does it mean even more than that? That Reuven can have all three hamburgers? That Reuven can have, you know, one hamburger for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner? Or does it mean even more than that? That Reuven can pile all three hamburgers on top of each other and eat them all together, triple decker, knowing that one of them is nevela? And that sugya, that issue, it's many, many shitos from Rishonim of exactly how to play that out. But that issue is the issue of whether Isser Nepach Lios Heter. In a tarovis of Yavesh B'Yavesh, do we say that the Isser Mamish becomes Heter? So the Rush writes, the Rush Shita, you can eat all at one time, because Isser is Nepach Lios Heter. So the Rush says, ooh, according to his interpretation of the Mishnayis, we don't say Kamakam Batel, but really, according to him, we really should say Kamakam Batel, because it's Nepach Lios Heter. Right? As soon as it became batel berov, it became heter. You could, at that point, you could eat the whole thing. You could eat all three. So what you have to say is that no. What chozer v'ner means is that it retroactively undoes the shem taroves. We view it as if there never was a taroves initially, because once it becomes nikar iser, there's no taroves. Right? That's the sort of salvation comes coming back to. Once you have a nikar iser, so then it loses the shame taroves. Taroves only exists when it's not iker, when it's not nikar, rather. Very similar to what the Rashba said, remember, in the sugi of tam ki iker, that you could say tam ki iker and not bitul barov, because if you can taste it, then there's nikar iser. That nikr can be determined by taste as well. So the Rush goes even further and says that nikr iser can also be determined based on your knowledge of the ratio of iser. That you knowing that there's such a heavy ratio of iser, that's also called nikr. That would also be considered nikr iser. How many questions did I miss? Were people asking questions? Zero. Oh, okay. I guess I did a great job today, or everyone was totally spaced out. Okay. Tomorrow, Beria Bez Hashem. So, I keep forgetting to send makaros in the morning, but Bli Nedra, I mean, the makaros are very straightforward. Simenkuf, Tor, Beis Yosef. Rashat always likes to point out, Beria is in Simenkuf, and it's on Daf Kuf. It's also in Daf Tzadivav and Kuf Beis. It's also in Makas, and it's also, okay, it's kind of in Brachos. So we'll try to hit all the sugars. We'll probably do two shiurim on Beria, probably do tomorrow. Not sure yet if I have enough for two shiurim, but at least one and a half. So we'll try to do tomorrow and Sunday, that's for sure. Okay.